Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Greetings. Welcome inside the final hour of the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Yo!
Live from the Farmers Insurance Studios. Call 1-888-FARMERS to switch and you could save on your auto insurance. What else are you going to do with your phone for the next few minutes? Look at pictures of your food your friends ate again? Call 1-888-FARMERS for a quote.
We are farmers. Bum, ba, da, bum, 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 bum.
I always hate that when people put pictures of food up. Look at what I had for lunch. Why do I care what you had for lunch?
You know what?
Why? I don't care.
No, for people like me that actually make their food, I want to show off that I have more than just my oratory skills, my friend.
Oh, no. It's no. I don't mean like, hey, look, I made this and I learned how to do this, which is interesting. I just mean, here's the cheeseburger I had for lunch. Oh great.
Well, maybe they're just trying to inspire you to cheeseburger them. I tell you what, though, I am jealous of our guy, Rich Ornberger. Uh-huh. Right, former NFL lineman, works here on Fox Sports Radio. He's down in San Diego during the week. He put up on Instagram, he bought himself a blowtorch. So he's grilling steaks, and he decided, you know what, I want to get a nice crisp to the edge, you know, and get that fat really rendering. So I was like, and he had that grin. I said, I don't know if you've seen this guy, and all of you out there listening, wherever you are, thanks for being part of the family. But you have seen this gentleman. I don't know what country he's from. I probably should do my due diligence. But he grins at you the whole time that he's cooking something or chopping vegetables or meat. That's kind of what I got from Rich when he had his blowtorch moment. Was like, look at me. I got a blowtorch with this big grin. I'm like, this is going to end really strangely here. And then he said the steaks were just delicious. So more gadgets, flamethrowers. Not quite the Brad Pitt kind from Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Spaceballs, the flamethrower.
Crazy.
The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Hey, we got more on this developing story involving Mets general manager, at least for now, Jared Porter, who, according to an ESPN report, sent explicit unsolicited texts and images to a female reporter in 2016, culminating with pictures of erect naked male members. At one point, he sent her 62 unanswered texts that ended up with the pictures of a naked male member trying to get her to talk to him after she broke off contact with him. So we'll have more on this because it's believe me, that's the headline. It's salacious. It's incredible. The story, we'll get to it more coming up in about 20 minutes. But clearly, you know, we're all talking about quarterbacks over the course of the past couple of days and seeing seasons end for a couple of them over the weekend. What's next for both of them, for a couple of guys I want to talk about, is different. We'll get to Jared Goff coming up in a couple of minutes. But clearly, you know, look, Drew Brees got a lot of the attention, likely playing his final game in the NFL. Jay Glazer, our own Jay Glazer, had the report before the Saints game against the Buccaneers that whatever game was the last game of the year for the Saints, it was Drew Brees' last game in the NFL. Brees has said, well, I'm not completely sold on that yet. I'm thinking things over, but you watched him after the game was over yesterday, had a great moment with Tom Brady on the field following the game in a moment that went viral. One of Brees' kids, you know, catching a pass from Brady in the end zone. Clearly, it looks like this is it for Drew Brees.
Yeah, but you buried the lead. How about his daughter just putting all the WWE finishing moves on the other kid?
Yeah, no, it looked like it was a fun time on the field. It was a fun time. And if I'm Drew Brees, I go to my son, I go, hey, you know, your dad's going to the Hall of Fame. Why do you need this guy throwing you a pass in the end zone? But dad, it's Tom Brady.
It's Uncle Tom. What are you talking about?
He's got like 11 Super Bowls and you have one, dad. I mean, you threw three picks today.
You're getting his jersey from this game, right, dad?
You know, it's not like Brady had a great day, dad. But wait, don't go anywhere, dad. It's not like he had a great day, but boy, he managed the game. He was a better game manager, but you just turned the ball over like crazy.
Throw he made to me in the back of the end zone? Wow, that was gorgeous. Really fit it in there.
He put a lot of air under it, Dad, like your passes all day today. But clearly, watching this game...
New Orleans hates us now.
Well, look, I think they even know this is the end of
Even the people in Indiana those beloved Boilermaker lovers.
Yeah. We're losing Purdue. Okay. Look, if you watched the game yesterday, you understand it's time. And while you can break everything down, what clearly comes to mind is if you have any questions about Drew Brees, it's do you see the Saints being better in 2021 if this is the team that comes back and that Brees is the quarterback? And even the staunchest of Brees defenders would have to sit back and say, no, they're not going to be better. They would be worse. Because Brees is clearly at the end. And if you watched them all season, you saw everything come up in a microcosm of events yesterday against the Buccaneers. First of all, we know that he can't throw downfield anymore. And when you can't throw downfield as a quarterback, you're not going to be around much longer. Brees used to be able to go downfield great, and that was part of the big fast strike capabilities of the Saints offense when once in a while, you know, once again, here's a 75-yard touchdown pass to Devery Henderson or whoever else it was, Michael Thomas, and that's not there anymore. And Brees can't do it. He's like an elite game manager, and they have to move down the field a few yards at a time. A lot of air under all of his passes now. Michael Thomas, who is at worst the third best receiver in the NFL, no catches. All right, how does he go through a game where Brees can't throw one pass to him? There's no dynamic elements to the offense outside of getting the ball to Alvin Kamara and hoping he makes people miss. The best play of the game was Jameis Winston's 46-yard touchdown pass, which is a gadget play where you had a quarterback come off the bench, and clearly many people could have completed that pass, but still.
Hey, 56. Image, don't short him those 10
yards. 56. The image of here's Brees, and they can't get any plays going on, and the one dynamic play they had was their backup quarterback coming off the bench and just chucking it down the field to an open wide receiver. I mean, that's the moment where you have to look back and go, yeah, this is it for Brees, and maybe it's Jameis Winston who's next, maybe it's Taysom Hill, but this is going to be it for Brees. He forced the ball in on a couple of bad interceptions trying to make things happen. It wouldn't be a better 2021. All right, the team was much more dynamic when Taysom Hill was quarterback. He added an incredible element to the team where he was able to run the football as well. He threw the football downfield. I mean, this is where the Saints have to go. I think Brees knows it. I think the fans know it. I think everybody knows it. Yesterday was just, hey, this is a game that showed us it's time. And if I thought the Saints could bounce back and Brees could bounce back next year, where it's, hey, he was hurt, he did it, but you would have the same type of team, and Brees' arm still wouldn't be as good as it is now, and now it's not good enough.
Yeah, and I think that was one of the big losses, and we talked about it ahead of the game as we previewed things on Friday, and certainly ahead of the game when I was in with LeVar Arrington yesterday morning, is if Taysom Hill's not there, you lose so much of that offense, right? So many, not necessarily just trick plays that you can do because he's multifaceted, right? Line him up at receiver, put him in the shotgun, put Brees out, you know, and just kind of change things around, that it opens up so much to the game. And you lost Latavius Murray. Now, you're not expecting to run the ball a ton against Tampa, but you saw that. Alvin Kamara finishes with 85 yards. They were pretty meaningless in the grand scheme of things, right? No big explosive plays. And you see that. He can't throw guys open. Right, the shots downfield are moon balls. Your receivers aren't getting separation. Tre'Quan Smith, if he can stay healthy, is intriguing. If you've got a guy like Jameis Winston that he can throw it and let Smith run under it, that you have. But where Drew Brees is now, as good as he has been, the fastball's gone. We talked about that, week two, week three of the season. Even in that game opening win against Tampa Bay, we came on air. We were on air that night looking at each other going, I don't know. This doesn't work. No. This doesn't look like it's going to be the right situation. And the other thing is, he's not coming back to play for peanuts either, because you already paid Taysom Hill. Well, you didn't pay him top market dollar. You can't bring Drew Brees back at a normal contract, right, of where, not even commensurate where he is, but say the 18 to 20 range. You've got other needs you're going to have to address on that squad. You've got other guys lining up to get paid. And you have to think about the future. Eckhart, think about the future. So it was tough to watch at times, right? And it was something we'd seen coming. But it's always tough to see guys that, look, I've watched him since he was at Purdue. And I watched what he and Joe Tiller did to change the Big Ten Conference all those years ago, and all of a sudden that offense became in vogue. Northwestern used it well, creating mismatches, creating space, and you saw that become a big part of the revolution of throwing the football with the quick way they operated and how he'd go through his progressions. And it's been fun to watch the career from his days in San Diego through this 15-year run in New Orleans. I hate to see it end that way, but we got treated to one last Breeze Brady, and even if it wasn't them deciding the game, Bucks defense, we did get to see it. And now you get to advance to that of Brady versus Rodgers. I mean, how great is this for a season that a lot of folks didn't want to have happen? A lot of people were hand-wringing at decisions and cursing it at every turn, that we got through the 256 of the regular season. Now we only have three remaining, and those four quarterbacks that are left standing are the current, the past, and the future of this game. It's a beautiful thing.
We're just missing the ghost of Christmas present.
No, that's – well, I don't know. Is that Aaron Rodgers? Is he the ghost of Christmas present?
He's the closest thing.
Yeah, I mean, because Brady's not quite past, but he's getting there.
Right.
And then we got two young guys on the AFC side of things. It's a beauty. Mm-hmm. This is a marketer's dream. Are you kidding? If you're the NFL, you are dancing.
Now, for the Rams, and what's next now for Jared Goff? We talk about the teams losing. Clearly, this weekend, Sean McVay, we found out, was not happy with Jared Goff. When he was asked following the Rams' loss to the Packers, he said, "Jared's our quarterback for now." And then went on to back away from it a little bit, saying, well, we evaluate all positions, but clearly you are frustrated and upset with your quarterback if in a post-game press conference following the loss, you say he's our quarterback right now. Steve Weish of NFL Network reports that there's a disconnect between McVay and Jared Goff, and there needs to be kind of a marriage counseling. That's kind of the best way to describe their relationship right now. It's not that it can't be repaired, but it has to be repaired for next season. But luckily, I'm here, Mike Harmon. I am relationship expert to the stars.
Well, look at that. You've got as much of a medical degree as the guy who's made millions. So why don't you try?
I could do it. I could do my Dr. Phil. You know, I'm hearing a lot of "we gonna," but I didn't hear a lot of "we did." You know, I've got to tell you, I'm not here. So here's what I do. Okay, relationship expert. Here's what I bring in. And I bring in Jared Goff. I bring in Sean McVay. And I go, here's what's going to happen. And I tell you, this is exactly what's going to happen in Los Angeles. Is that I tell Sean McVay, dude, you've asked him to do less because you know he's not a great quarterback. I'm sorry you're stuck with his contract, but you did ask him to do less. So you kind of know he's a limited quarterback. And while Jared Goff is going, "Yes, I'm limited," I go, "Jared, you have stunk for 2 years now. And clearly, if you didn't have this big contract, they'd be moving on from you, because the Rams would have started John Wolford if he was healthy. And you only started in the playoffs because Wolford couldn't play. Here's what the Rams do, and here's what's going to happen, because there's no other solution. Goff is owed way too much money the next 2 years. His dead cap number is $65 million next year. I mean, that's insane, $65 million. So he's not going anywhere. But what can the Rams do? The same thing that I think that I said the Jets should do if they're bent on bringing back Sam Darnold.
Trade for Deshaun Watson.
But if they're bent on bringing back Sam Darnold, I say, you know what? You've had the job for 3 years now. But now we're going to bring in somebody to push you and take the job if you continue to stink. And I do the same thing with the Rams, because there's going to be guys out there that are not going to walk into a starting job someplace else that have that starting talent, right? If Matthew Stafford gets traded by the Lions, well, he's going to start wherever he goes. He's 32. He throws for 4,500 yards a year. He's still really good. Deshaun Watson, whatever happens to him, he goes, he's the starter somewhere. There are certain guys that if they change teams, they will be starters. But there's the other list of players that are going to need to go battle it out somewhere, where you're not going to be our solution. We're not going to give you the job, but could you earn it in the right situation? Yeah. And that's where guys like Jameis Winston, Jimmy Garoppolo, Marcus Mariota, where they all fall, right? Matt Ryan, if he gets traded, no, Matt Ryan's going to go start somewhere. He's still really good. But those guys are not players that are going to go someplace else and start right away. No one's going to say, "Jimmy, you're coming in, you're our guy right away." Because they saw what happened. Hey, he was good, and then he wasn't. He's not someone you say, "Here, take the reins to this team." But come in and battle it out, and you could win the job. You got to take the best solution that's offered. And that's going to be the best solution for those guys, for Jameis, for Jimmy Garoppolo, for Marcus Mariota. It's going to be, hey, you know, come in and battle it out, and we'll see. And you know, both the Jets and the Rams, both these teams, hey, they like their incumbent, but they would move on in a second if the other guy's good, especially with the Rams. You know Sean McVay is itching to give the job to somebody else. So let's say somebody comes in, outplays Jared Goff. Well, then after 2021, you're talking about one more year of a bad Jared Goff contract, and that is salvageable. You know, you're down to like $25 million in dead cap money. It's not the $65 million. But that's the solution. The Rams got to bring in somebody big, somebody good that can push Goff or take the job from him if Jared Goff continues to underwhelm.
You know me. I just want to see Jameis Winston out there winging it around again. Because you know what? There's a lot of great, there's a lot of spectacular, and there's a lot of spectacularly bad. And I want to see what he got out of this graduate course that he took, you know, the Harvard of quarterbacks there in New Orleans. Let's go!
Harvard of quarterbacks,
that's
yes.
What he called it, Harvard.
Twitter at How About a Fresca, Mike at Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon, live from the Farmers Insurance Studios. Hey, when you upgrade your job post, Indeed immediately delivers candidates from our resume database who fit your job criteria. Let Indeed sift through resumes so you can focus on selecting your top candidates. Indeed delivers 2.5 times more hires than all the other branded job sites combined. This according to Breezy HR 2019. Receive a $75 sponsored job credit when you post a job at Indeed.com/credit. How cool is that? That's Indeed.com/credit. Terms and conditions apply. Coming up next, we get back into this Mets story that I really can't believe, and I've read this story 100 times now. We've talked about it. New developments going on with what's happening with the Mets GM, who really is going to wind up being the ex-Mets GM after this bombshell report came out about an hour and a half ago. That's coming up next right here on Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
Oh!
Live from the Farmers Insurance Studios. I'll tell you a quick story, Mike Harmon, before we get to the next big story involving the Mets that's just breaking wide all over the place tonight. So when I was in college, I was trying it. It's been a long time. I've been with Pam for over 25 years. It doesn't matter. So when I was in college and I was trying to date this girl who, when I was in Syracuse and she was in Staten Island, right? So it's about 4.5 hours away. And I had gone out with her a couple of dates when I was back home for Christmas, I think, in between Christmas and New Year's, right? I knew her from work. I worked in the supermarket. Not Wegmans. Not the great Wegmans that Josh Norman and us, we talked about last
week. No, that's right. Bill's Mafia celebrating Josh Norman.
Oh, they would slam Josh Norman on a folding table if they could right now. I mean, and that's a good thing. So I knew her from work, right? And I went away to college, and then I came back, and I worked like the whole Christmas break. We went out on a date and we had fun and everything else, but then I went back and I tried to call her and it was just, you know, I'm like, because I really liked her. She was really cute. She was fun. Oh, she was great. She loved the Mets. Come on, that's the number one thing here. So there was, and I called her from college and we talked on the phone, once, and then I called her again like a week later. We talked. And then I noticed that she's not, you know, she hasn't called me at all. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to call her one more time. And then, you know, so all right, we'll talk to me. And then she's got to call me. So I call her and we're talking on the phone and it just seems like, okay, this isn't going anywhere. And I think she really doesn't want to talk to me anymore. So I'm thinking this as we're having this conversation. And then we're talking and then I could swear I hear her. I hear her do this. Tell me you have to. Right. I hear a whisper. Tell me you have to use the phone. And I go, did she just whisper to somebody? Tell me you have to use the phone. No, that's weird. I'm making things up now. 15 seconds later, I hear a sister's voice say, hey, D, I need to use the phone. My boyfriend's going to be calling soon. And I just go, wow. Wow. I said, OK. She goes, all right, well, I got to go. My sister's got your phone. I go, yep. I said, great. I said, have a nice life. And she said, what?
Wow, nice life.
Yeah, I said, I'll talk to you later. She says, okay. I hung up, and I was never talked to her again. I mean, I was just, at that point, I'm like, okay, you know what? She really wants nothing to do with me, and she's done. But she was done. In fact, she goes, tell me you have to use the phone. I'm like, okay, I'm done. I mean, I don't care how much I like you. I'm done. And I, from right there, it was like I went from, boy, I really want to make this work, to I'm done, and I never really thought about her again. I was like, okay, it's over. I mean, that's it. And I'm moving on, and I tried. But I was so embarrassed with that. I was when I heard it, I really wanted to say, I heard your sister say, you to whisper to your sister, she had to use the phone. You need to cup the phone better when you do that. Put your whole hand over the receiver so no one can listen when you say, tell me you have to use the phone. That'll help. That'll help you better in future life.
Well, in your particular case, also, to just, tell me to beat it.
Just tell me to beat it, would you?
Well, then you're just done with it.
Yeah, yes. Well, I think she also liked the fact that I was calling her all the time. Like, oh, this guy likes me, really likes me, likes me. But then I was like, okay, now I'm done. And the reason I bring this story up is because you have to know when you are done talking to someone you are romantically interested in. This is because of this story involving New York Mets general manager Jared Porter. Porter was just hired by the Mets a few weeks ago. Sandy Alderson came in to run baseball operations for the Mets after Steve Cohen bought the team. And he hired Jared Porter as his GM. Porter's been in the game for a while, and he was going to be the guy learning under Sandy Alderson, and probably in a couple of years, Sandy Alderson would then hand the team over to Jared Porter. Well, I'm believing and I'm hoping that by this time tomorrow, Jared Porter is no longer the GM of the New York Mets because of this story that ESPN broke earlier tonight. Porter sent explicit, unsolicited texts and images to a female reporter in 2016 when he worked with the Cubs. So this didn't happen when he was with the Mets. This happened when he was with the Cubs. It's 5 years ago. And he also sent, in part of these text messages, pictures of male anatomy to this woman. Now, here's the background of the story. She was a foreign correspondent who came to the United States wanting to cover baseball. They had a chance meeting in an elevator. They exchanged phone numbers. Porter and her texted with each other. Porter sent the majority of the texts. And when he started sending selfies of himself, just regular selfies, she responded back with a selfie of herself. Well, Porter then, over the top, sent more text messages and sent a picture of a man on a bed with a big bulge in his pants. She laughed and wrote back, ha ha, funny, and he kept sending pictures like that and text messages like that. She explained that she didn't want to upset him, that in her country, sending pictures to each other is a way they communicate, although not these kind of pictures. And it culminated with her realizing finally, okay, these pictures are of an overtly sexual nature. I don't want to talk to him anymore. And Steve DeSager brought it into his report last hour that she, because of the language barrier, because she was a foreign correspondent, asked a friend of hers to email him or text him and say, don't send these pictures anymore.
Yep.
So that's where the story stood. And if that was the end of the story, okay, that's the end of the story. Because you could make the argument that, well, even though he was really kind of psycho and stalkerish, she did send back texts when he sent questionable texts to her. But no means no. And when she said, that's it, he then sent 62 text messages to her that went unanswered. 62 texts. The last few, which culminated in various pictures of male anatomy. Porter has admitted sending the texts, but says, I didn't send pictures of myself. Those are pictures I found online. When he was asked more to comment on the story for ESPN, he didn't get back to them. ESPN published this story earlier tonight. So here's Porter, who sent 62 text messages after she stopped communicating with him and let it be known, please don't send these pictures to me anymore. Why did the story come out now and not in 2016? Apparently, ESPN got the story at the end of 2017. The woman talked to them, interviewed them. She was going to go on the record, but then she got scared, backed off because she wanted to continue on to try to be a reporter in Major League Baseball. She thought it would hurt her career, so ESPN sat on the story and didn't come forward with it. Now, after having left the United States, gone back to her home country, and she's doing this anonymously, having gone back to her home country, she's no longer pursuing a job in Major League Baseball, and she felt the time was right, so this wouldn't happen to anybody else in the future. So this is why the story is breaking now. All the evidence is there of the text messages, and that's the big thing. This is not he said, she said. All the text messages are here. And the text messages started off with, here's where I am, and here's 45 pictures of my hotel room, here's some pictures of dinner, here's where I'm sitting, all of these things. And that's where it then snowballed into 62 unanswered text messages from Jared Porter. This is the story as it's been reported of right now. The New York Mets put out a statement saying, we've spoken to Jared. We'll have more on this story as we we investigate, because now the Mets need to look into this. They need to talk to ESPN. But this is really easy. This is not a situation where Jared Porter can continue on as the Mets general manager.
No.
At the lowest thing you could say is, or the least thing you say is, the guy was a stalker, and it's a really bad optic for the Mets. They keep a guy on who is sending all of these texts. At the worst end of it is he going to wind up getting criminal prosecution for this? I mean, when you're sending unsolicited texts of a lewd nature, that's against the law. And I don't know how you keep a guy like that as your general manager after this story breaks, especially since he's admitted sending the text messages, and there's evidence of her text messages. I mean, you go look at the story, and here's the text messages. And some of them are as much as, why aren't you calling me back? I think you're beautiful. Call me. Why are you not getting back with me? Why are you not talking to me? Hey, here's where I am right now. I'm missing you right here. These are the text messages that Jared Porter is sending. And this is, number one, this is not okay. This is absolutely not okay. And no matter where you come down, even though it happened when you were with the Cubs, the Mets have to move on from him. And I'm hoping that tomorrow it's a strong statement by the Mets where Sandy Alderson has a press conference and he says, after reviewing this, we have let Jared Porter go from our organization. We have no stomach for this. We do not stand by anything and watch this happen. We are working with Major League Baseball. We want equality in the locker room and everywhere else. And it's something where the Mets have to stand up, get in front of this and say, we didn't know about this, and now we're taking care of it. Because the Cubs put out a statement saying that had they known about it, that then they would have taken care of it, because there's no place for that for him. And the thing is, it's fallen on the Mets now, because this is where Porter is, even though it happened with the Cubs. So all the big jokes coming out about the Mets going to Met, the Carlos Beltran from last year, the Mets can't have nice things. I mean, my team was rolling and now suddenly this happens. But the Mets can take care of this tomorrow and in one fell swoop and say, this is not who we are. Steve Cohen can come out and have a press conference to talk about this. And if that happens, the Mets make a strong statement and then they move on and get back to business and they hire a new GM and he comes in and everything else happens. If that's not the case tomorrow, boy, I don't know what to tell you about the sports world and where we are and sometimes what's done to women.
Well, you think you're making progress, and there have been a lot of reports and a lot of people who've come forward the last couple of years and felt it was time to share their stories. This one is anonymous. It starts over business cards talking about international prospects and leads to this. So goes back to the time with the Cubs. Then he was a member of the Diamondbacks staff. And now you got him with the Mets. So it's going to be an investigation. We'll see if anybody else steps forward. I'll give you this from the New York Daily News. Bradford William Davis, his Twitter handle here is @_BBEEWILLY. A player from the Mets org just told me this about Porter. Quote, I just finished reading the article. Blank and disgusting. The Mets have to fire him. They can't get this wrong. She left the profession because of this man. He cannot be employed. Same Mets player responding to the assurance that the team would, quote, review the facts. Quote, what facts do you have to review? It's all laid out there in the article, like text by text, with screenshots. And there's now a number of people that are getting in line saying, please let me know who the player is so I can buy his jersey.
Yeah, I mean, look, I get it. It's also, this story broke at midnight.
Yeah.
Right. Let's realize that for a second, okay?
This is
the
fresh.
Story broke at midnight. This is not something that happened at noon today and you can't get in contact with anybody because they're out of town or out of the country, right? This is not Daniel Snyder where, well, I don't know where the guy is. Who knows what's going on? We didn't hear anything from the guy. No, this is something that happened at midnight. And, you know, obviously, that's why I'm hoping the Mets are going to put out a strong statement about this tomorrow. They're not going to run from it and just say he's fired and that's it. You know, this is a new era for the Mets. And let's see what kind of owner Steve Cohen is when he's dealing with this. Let's see Sandy Alderson have something strong because they know. But maybe you can use this as an opportunity to stand up and say, this is wrong. We're not behind this. He's gone. And let's make sure we all do better. And let's try to take a really bad moment and something that is the worst of sports and turn it into a positive. And turn it into, or not a positive, but turn it into something that helps. Right? Well, that's the right frame.
Right.
Not, you can't turn this into a positive, but turn it into something where we can help situations
well,
like this.
Well, but that's it. For the industry, know that this will not just be looked at for a moment and cast aside. That you're encouraging people that are having issues around clubhouses, around the stadium, that they can't do their job, right? There are reports that in the 2017 spring training, weeks that she did everything she could to avoid contact with him while being at the same facility. So you've got to make it an environment where everybody feels welcome, right? We can all not like the way other people do their jobs, but at no point should they ever fear for their jobs, fear for their ability to advance or just be at a facility. Right, just the basic idea of being in a facility and being afraid of what's waiting for you. I mean, that's just basic human decency. Forget about the sports element. Good God.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Call 1-888-FARMERS and you could save on your auto insurance. It's better than using your phone to see if your post got any likes again. Call 1-888-FARMERS to get a quote.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or affiliate. Products not available in every state.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
Oh!
Live from the Farmers Insurance Studios. And I kind of lied a few minutes ago, Mike. I actually have three great stories. Three great stories, yes.
Not one.
Two. Three.
Yeah. One is only great for some people. The other two are great for everybody.
Okay.
One is only great for some people. As Deshaun Watson went on Instagram tonight and liked a picture of the back page of the New York Post that said the Jets should do whatever it takes to get Deshaun Watson.
There you go. I know he was in New York because he was doing an autograph signing. He collaborated with an artist on some cool trading cards. So I know he was signing some of those for an upcoming
release. Let him leave. Don't let him leave the city. You keep him there and say, all right, we're sending you Sam Darnold. We got a couple of first-round picks. What are you waiting for at this point? I don't care if Sam Darnold is upset. You try to get Deshaun Watson liked it. He liked the picture. He's okay with coming to the Jets. Go get him.
You're so excitable.
Go get him. So that's the good story for me.
We'll see who they hire as coach as to whether they can calm that down, you know?
No. It won't happen. It doesn't matter. It's going to be before that. The Jets are going to pounce. They're going to pounce to get Deshaun Watson. But here's the stories that are good for everybody. Look, I said it's been a heavy few minutes with the Mets story the past few minutes with what went on with GM Jarrett Porter, who should be ex-GM in about 12 hours. But two great stories. First one, Kyrie Irving, who, look, we criticize him a lot here on the show, his behavior, his wild cardness about him. But he did a great thing. Steven Jackson, former NBA star, announcing on a podcast today that Kyrie Irving bought a house for the family of George Floyd. Floyd, who died in Minneapolis in May when a police officer kneeled on his neck for more than 7 minutes, sparking outrage and riots and just a horrible time in this country as we dealt with COVID as well. Kyrie Irving doing a great thing. Other people have chipped in as well. But buying a house for the family of George Floyd, that's just a great, great story. And as you mentioned earlier in the show, Mike, you know, really, Kyrie Irving does do a lot of great things off the court. On the court, he's a knucklehead, but off the court, he does do great things.
No, and that's it. And we still don't know 100% what the hell's going on now, right? I mean, we have this story, and obviously, you just do a quick search on Kyrie Irving. There's a lot he's trying to do to help in the world and trying to look. It's been a trying year for everybody, and certainly we talked a little bit about the Lamar Jackson charity that all the Buffalo Bills fans were sending to, right? Making sure kids that need and depend on the meals in schools get them. Well, Kyrie Irving's done a ton of stuff like that. So you can bemoan the flat earth and we can kind of roll our eyes at some of that stuff and how soon he's back on a court, whole other thing. But yeah, he's active and trying to make a difference from the position that he has. So yeah, when you have the spotlight, see if you can't deflect it and do some good.
The other great story is the NFL has decided to relax their rules about how coaches can't interview for head coaching jobs while their teams are alive in the playoffs. The NFL said, listen, we're okay with it as long as the coaches' teams are okay with them interviewing. So what happened now because of this rule being relaxed? Eric Bieniemy got to interview with the Houston Texans. And Todd Bowles got to interview with the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, if they get the job or not, that's still up in the air. But now, whereas before, you were out of luck. You couldn't interview if your team was still alive in the playoffs and you had to wait. This is a great, great thing because, look, you can argue about Eric Bieniemy and what's behind him not getting a job so far. But regardless as to how it is, because we can have that debate, but half of what it is for people like Bieniemy and Todd Bowles is that, listen, teams want to be able to hire a guy. And if you interview Eric Bieniemy, okay, that's great. But if he doesn't bowl you over, great. Okay, he's in the mix. Are you really going to wait all the way through the playoffs for him, or do you want to interview him a second time and you want to be able to talk to him and make a decision? Teams want to be able to move on. They want to make their decision. They don't want to wait until the end and say, boy, are we screwing ourselves if we wait all the way till the end of the playoffs and hire somebody. This is going to help that. 50% of guys not getting gigs when they're coaching this late in the playoffs is because of that, because we can't talk to you, and some teams get antsy and want to make a jump and hire somebody before the playoffs play out.
Yeah, I mean, for one, you're one win away from your Super Bowls target coming true here. I just want to throw that out there for you.
That's a four-year-old t-shirt that I have too, my Super Bowls t-shirt.
I know. Yeah, I mean, the other part of this is, as you say, you know, the waiting game sucks. And trying to determine whether that guy, because look, you're not only saying, hey, does he fit us? They're interviewing you too when they come into that building, right? Especially if they think there are multiple teams of interest. And this year, with all the Zoom calls, everybody had multiple interviews, right? You got to talk to several different ownership and GM combinations to try to figure out what you're doing. So, and you're also, because you're firing a coach, you're probably pretty far off from the goal, which means more time for evaluation is necessary. So waiting, not in your interest.
Twitter at How About a Fresca, live from the Farmers Insurance Studios. Our Best Of podcast goes up in about 10 minutes. iTunes, wherever you subscribe and listen to podcasts, go ahead, listen. My buddy Ben Maller coming up next, Fox.